Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Hello, Egg Chasers. It's the Egg Chasers Rugby Podcast, the podcast about rugby that doesn't take itself or the game too seriously, here in the Rugby Dungeon, and the second podcast in your feed right now, international rugby games from the weekend. We've all covered in a different podcast, which is why you should hit subscribe if you haven't already, to get everyone delivered to you here. I'm going to call this one, guys. JB, how are you doing?
Hello, how are you?
And Phil, how are you?
Hello, Tim. Very good, thank you.
This Woodford Reserve, by the way.
It's nice, isn't it?
It's really lovely. Very smooth.
Only little ones, because it's Sunday, and I'm a bit delicate anyway. But you were at a ball last night, weren't you?
I was, black tie dinner.
Was it sleep inducing?
I had a very big night on Friday out in Leeds for mate's 40th. Went to Northern Monk Brewery, got some really nice beers in there, including a Queeper.
Ooh, what's that?
Quadruple IPA.
What does that mean?
Oh my goodness me.
So IPA, so it's all to do with the hops and other components go into it, but an IPA generally somewhere between, I don't know, 5 and maybe 7%.
Yeah.
You then have a double, which is generally between about 7 and 9. And then a triple, which I've had plenty of triples in the past. Generally between maybe 9.5, 10 and 11, 12.
Talking like from zero level.
Well, this was 15%.
What?
Beer. And what do they serve that in? Can't be pints.
Steins. In the standard order for that was 1/3 of a pint.
Wow. So there's I can't tell you the science behind it. I can't even tell you really the concept. But it's something to do with alcohol becomes less palatable or something like the stronger it gets. And they've done something weird with the brewing process now. So they can get super high volume but not taste awful. Someone can send me a link as to how that works or what I'm trying to say. But something like that. Which is why we've got all these weird beers now.
When you went black tie, do you go tie or bow tie?
So I'm pretty specific with my black tie. And actually, I mentioned to my wife Claire a few tells to look out for that someone doesn't really know what they're doing in black tie. So
I'll go on,
give me a tell.
Wingtips,
a white collar shirt with black tie.
Yeah.
So you have the wingtip collar that where you can see the black tie tied around your neck. That's a no-go for black tie.
No, don't do that.
That's quite a common one.
Yep.
A clip-on bow tie, of course, is an absolute no-go.
Yes, I'm that guy, unfortunately. I can't do a
clip-on
bow tie. Yeah,
clip-on?
Yeah, I want to do a bow tie.
I thought you meant like...
A clip-on
like,
tie.
When I had my first part-time job at Sainsbury's, it had one with a little lever clip.
Yeah.
There was no bit that went around your neck.
So you just mean
the one that goes around your neck that you clip-on.
Yeah.
Yes.
Fine.
Yeah, so no-go clip-on tie.
Okay.
Not having a dress shirt... So I'm just having a white shirt with a bow tie.
That's
also a no-go.
Can I just admit, can I just say a cheat I used to do is because I can't tie a bow tie. So I don't clip on one, but I'd have a tie in my pocket so that later on in the night you can do the round your neck job.
That is brilliant. I do like that. I do like that a lot. I've got a lot of time for that.
I have less time for that. Learn how to tie a bow tie. There was a few non-black tie, so non-dinner jacket suits. So someone's just wearing a black suit. With a normal shirt, and they've just clipped on a bow tie. And another bad offence is wearing a belt. You should never wear a belt.
Is that correct? Cummerbund?
Yeah. Cummerbund or braces.
Or
just have your trousers that fit you.
Yep, that's another great one. Another one, don't wear a watch.
Yeah.
You shouldn't wear a watch.
Is that correct?
Yeah.
Right. You can have a pocket watch.
Is that because it interferes with the proper length of cuff visible past the sleeve of the jacket?
Do you want to answer that, Phil? Because it's not that.
The watch... Like, yeah.
The watch is because it's rude, because you'll be looking at the time.
Ah, I like it.
Yeah.
Well, I quite like wearing my pocket watch when I go black tie, so that I can make a real show of it. I'm going to look at the time.
I've got a very nice pocket watch, actually.
And the other thing is having non-patent leather shoes. So I think you should wear proper patent leather, very shiny shoes.
No, I disagree with that. I think patent leather is a cheat.
And if how are you going to upskirt people in their nice...
exactly. No, you need...
Joking. I'll get cancelled for that.
You've gone, bye.
Joking.
Don't worry about going to News Radio's Christmas party now, Tim. Not a problem for you. Proper leather shoes, which you shine to a mirror finish.
Which is an alternative.
That's the alternative.
Yeah. There was some... So it was at the anaesthetic ball for Mind Charity in Manchester. Very, very good fun. But there were some interesting combinations. Some very, very well-kept gentlemen there, but also some interesting alternatives to black tie.
It's good you could get...
Maybe 10% could dress well.
At that, you know that if you get spiked, you'll get spiked just the right amount, so you wake up feeling fine.
Yes, quite. I was also a black tie dude this week.
Were you?
Yes, I was at the... not quite as exciting, North Wales Business Club. Ooh.
Nice. Oh, and you brought a new dinner jacket, didn't you?
I went for like a midnight blue velvet number.
Nice.
I was going to say to Phil, what does he think about midnight blue velvet? Because I also have that as a dinner jacket.
I do quite like that. I'm just traditional black and black. Do you have it midnight blue with them black lapels, or is it midnight blue with blue lapels?
The satin lapels.
What, with velvet?
Well they do exist, because I saw them when shopping on Thursday for the thing. But apparently you're not meant to do that.
Okay.
And I didn't want that.
Yeah.
I also wanted it dark green.
Did you have to get a new one because you've lost a bit of timber?
That's exactly what happened. That's exactly what happened. Mm. And also, I'd love shopping.
It's costly,
jackets,
isn't it? So. This looking great and being fit and hard is really, really costly.
A burden.
A problem you share with many a rugby player. Let's get back onto rugby matters. This podcast, then, we talked about the international rugby. This podcast is about everything else. Yeah. And whereas we were incredibly positive on the last podcast, we're going to allow ourselves...
It's a bit of negativity.
To get right in the weeds.
Yeah, so let's start with this. We've had an invitation, boys.
Mm. To a black tie dinner?
You could go black tie.
Yeah, we could do. Blackburn are playing York this weekend, and we've been invited for lunch up at Blackburn to see the good work.
What a lovely invitation that is.
Yeah.
Thank you, Blackburn Rugby.
I'm going to go. But probably not this weekend, because you two can't make it, and therefore it'll be one of us.
And let's find a weekend where we can all go. That'd be absolutely outstanding.
But we'll say right now, we will definitely go to Blackburn. In fact, not only will I go to Blackburn, I'll go to almost anyone who wants me to watch. But I'm looking forward to this. They had a disappointing loss to Billingham this weekend.
Mm.
But actually, that league's really, really hotting up with some interesting results. Macclesfield smashed Kirby Lonsdale. And Preston are still second. So
some other local rugby results I noticed. Sedgley Park lost a second on the bounce against Hull after being streaking away with the league in National 2 early on. They're lost a couple on the bounce.
Do you have any insight to that?
No, not speaking to anyone in the team at the moment.
Because they lost, you don't talk to them when they lose.
Yeah, absolutely. Best friends a few weeks ago, but... It's not necessarily the worst thing in the world, because Sedgley have spent more money than they currently do in the past. Certainly when some of the RFU payments were bigger. But I don't think they really can sustain competing higher up the leagues without...
Need a lot of
them. They need to spend that money on maintaining the pebble dash on the outside of the changing rooms.
At Park Lane.
Yeah.
That pebble dash. It's a great ground to play, actually.
It is.
Park Lane.
Here is something fascinating, okay? So, on Fridays, I travel back from North Wales, Beardmore & Co, independent financial advisors, pensions, investments, that kind of thing. I'm travelling back. It takes me about an hour and a half, so I like to make my phone calls. So, the phone calls can be to, anyone, but, mostly people that like rugby. And one of my favourite people to dip with is Chris Bentley.
Bentos.
Former Exeter Chief.
Yeah.
Former Oral. Player.
Now, I know you know this, but I'm going to ask you anyway.
Great rower as well.
A phenomenal
Very
rower.
Exceptional
phenomenal rower.
Rower.
Yes.
So we were having a chat, and now he's getting involved with Plymouth or...
Albion.
Plymouth or Gannon. Plymouth Albion.
They can't change their name, by the way. Albion is like the old word for England.
Yeah, everyone knows Albion. everyone knows that. They can't change their name. Yeah, so that has to change. I think they probably will. That has to stay.
Stay. Yeah.
And I think it probably will. Anyway, do you know? And I know you know because I've already told you, but I'm going to ask again. Who the first black player was for England?
So I didn't.
I didn't, but I do now.
Yeah. So the guy's name is Peters, and he was a fly half. England had a black fly half at the turn, turn of the century.
1907.
England had
pre World War One.
Think about that a second.
Yeah,
that's incredible. Absolutely astonishing. I can't believe I don't know who this guy is.
So James Peters is his name. James nickname.
Darkie Peters.
Darkie Peters, yeah.
It was a different time.
It was
definitely a different time.
I can't believe there's not statues of him everywhere.
Yeah.
And so this is all from Bentos. I can't claim any credit for doing any of the research. But he's done a bit of research about this guy. He's like, it's unbelievable. His story, he was at Bristol. I'm not sure if it's the same Bristol as it is now. Apparently he was asked to leave because he's keeping a white man out of the team.
Different time.
Bloody hell!
He played this. He must have been. He must be phenomenal. Well, it doesn't just be good. He must have been phenomenal. Was a circus performer, or his family were circus performers. Something happened. I think his dad got eaten by a lion or some such thing.
I'm reading about it now. Yeah, his father, George, Jamaican father, was mauled to death in a training cage by lions.
I thought that was a flippant comment when you said that.
No, this story is unreal. And then he goes to Fagin's Orphanage, where actual Fagin's Orphanage, right?
Oliver Twist Fagin Orphanage. Wow.
At this point, and this is my favourite phrase I've ever heard anyone ever say. I don't know if this is exactly how it's meant, but he then excelled at being an orphan. How do you excel at being an orphan? But he did. He did, and he made it to England.
That's an amazing story.
That is one of the best stories I've ever heard. And the more you read about this guy, the more you're like, I am 100% in this. So
well, let's start a little thing to get this guy sort of recognised and celebrated in rugby, because what an amazing story.
Isn't it?
Because it says everything about... Actually, the thing that... When I look at the UK, and there's a lot of people that want to do... self-flagellate about our country, but it is an incredible land of opportunity. It is an amazing place that's always been at the forefront. I mean, we only just, it was about 25, 30 years ago, finished paying off emancipating slaves all around the world.
Yeah, that's a good point. It is a good point.
So we've done, so that is a brilliant story. I'm glad you brought it to our attention.
Yeah, I don't think we're going to need to push the story much further, because I think Albion are going to do something around him anyway, because it's such an integral part of their history. Anyway, more on Albion. They lost to Cambridge this weekend, 17-0. Get this. The Cambridge hooker has got 15 tries and 3 hat-tricks this season.
Wow, that's Nick Dolly-esque.
Yeah, and he scored, from what I can tell, most of his tries from literally driving balls. But still, that's
15 tries, total 14 yards.
Yeah.
Well, Nick Dolly, Blamire, Malvaca... Malvaca
from France.
5 in 3 games
for
France. Yeah, including 2 against the All Blacks.
So, yeah, there's some local... There is some... Oh, right. And also, I think Aylesbury beat Reading.
Yes, they did. And there was a lovely moment. I got a message about the chat. And this is one of the things I really, really love about rugby. I got sent a photograph of the minute silence at Reading versus Aylesbury. And it was for Ryan, friend of the pod. His old maths teacher passed away. A minute of silence in tribute to Dave Jeffers, and he was a maths teacher, and he was the under 14s coach. And what I love about rugby is that at times like that, they show respect and reverence to just these people that no one else would know, but really, really make the game at the grassroots level. I love that.
Yeah. And also Huddersfield stuck it to Sheffield.
Yeah.
Have that. Yeah. Hey, look, if you've got a match report and you want to want to send it in, I will read it. I will read every single sentence.
Razzie Erasmus is where we're going now.
Yeah.
Let's get into the weeds. We got the report finally after 4 months.
Razzie.
Now, it was how many pages was the report?
80
from World Rugby.
So this was 80.
Yeah.
Referenced in this was the dossier. They don't actually call it a dossier, but I'm going to call it a dossier that World Rugby compiled, which was, well, two parts, one of which was 520 pages, and the other was 120 or 140 pages of information on this topic.
It is insane, right? So rugby seems to have simultaneously no money and all the money in the world, and it can't make up which one it is.
This was incredibly written report, incredibly thorough report from seemingly some exceptional legal minds.
Some exceptionally good billing legal minds.
Undoubtedly.
Am I right in thinking World Rugby wanted to get this absolutely right? And am I right in thinking that part of the reason they took 4 months and wanted to get it absolutely right and came up with, well, in total, 600 pages worth of documentation was because Razzy Erasmus did not accept that he had done anything wrong?
Yes, correct. Both Razzy Erasmus, Johan Razzy Erasmus, and the South African Rugby Union, they contested the charges. They contested all of the charges. Now, there was 8 charges brought against the two parties. 7 were upheld. The only one that was not upheld was the one against Sia Khaleesi and one of the coaches, which was probably correctly dismissed. Mm. Everything else was upheld. And it's not... They're not contentious charges. They're charges on whether he... Well, first of all, threatening a referee, which he clearly did. He threatened Nick Berry that if he didn't have a meeting with him, he would release a video of what he referred to as the Warren Gatland route, which we'll come into it in a minute. He clearly did release the video. He issued it to 5 people in World Rugby, and then 40 more people on a WhatsApp group, with it being an unpassword protected video.
Yeah.
And he contested that. So the other charges are abusive and threatening language towards, or abusive language towards, a referee in this video, and all of that side of things. And he contested all of these charges, which are, they're so clear and obvious that it's almost unbelievable that he questioned them. And actually, the QCs, in writing their judgment, do reference the fact that had he have not contested the charges, had he accepted what was clear and patently obvious, a breach of multiple sections of World Rugby Code of Conduct, that they would have not had to go to this extent, and there would have been some mitigating factors in his punishment. His punishment has been necessarily made more severe because he contested everything.
He should have to pay for it. Pay for it. He should have to pay for all of the time spent by solicitors and costs incurred. Because this looks bloody expensive.
This would have been very expensive.
Well, I'm sure that would have been in the back of their mind when they came up with 2 months complete ban from rugby and 10 months from match days.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's a crazy ban.
$20,000 for the South African Rugby Union, which I can't imagine would scratch the surface
of the fees for this. When Denis Salamona came from Castleford, obviously this is where this conversation was going to be, right? There's lots of legal wrangling about, who pays what and, so on and so forth. I'm pretty sure they settled that case out of court because of the costs. And that's just a little spat about a player going from one code to another. It's fairly clear cut. And the legal bills were racking up to such a rate, it's like, okay, just settle the cost and then we'll move on. This gets very expensive, very quickly.
And this has been fought all the way by South African Rugby Union and Razzy Erasmus.
Now, I've got to say, you sent a WhatsApp and it said you've got to read from page 63, was it?
61 onwards. If you read anything of this, just read 61.
Well, I just think very, very unusual. I actually read the whole thing, which is not like me at all. And I started reading it and I could feel myself getting angry because, like, what on earth? We've dragged the director of rugby of South Africa in front of the panel for not password protecting a video. Is this really what it... And you carry on reading and you think, maybe it's a bit more. But when you get to page 61 onwards, have you read 61 onwards?
Yeah, I took Phil's advice and took the shortcut.
Ooh. And then you start reading with the texts that have been sent. You think, yeah, this guy needs to be dealt with. He needs to be dealt with. But
I don't use this word lightly. I'm choosing my words very, very carefully. He seems unhinged.
He does a little bit, yeah. It's delusional, the the fact that he's contesting, I still can't go over the fact that he's contesting the charges. And his excuses for it, for the charges, are, I wasn't acting in capacity of as South African director of rugby. He's absolute nonsense. And the address this.
He's referring to a South Africa match. He's wearing South Africa's stash.
And doing a video which he says he does every week for South Africa.
This is in between the first and the second Lions test.
Just insanity.
That, the fact, well, he flatly denied that there was anything abusive or offensive, or that he was, flatly denying that is absolute nonsense. There were other things as well, like the I've made a little list of them. Hang on one sec. The fact that it was for internal use only, which was absolute nonsense.
Yeah.
And the fact that he didn't leak it, but he sent it to, he admitted sending it to more than 45 people. And the fact that he refers to Supersport getting the video in the video and then says he didn't leak it.
Yeah.
That is absolutely crazy. The fact that he said...
But what was he saying about Supersport, though? Look, this is what the referee is sort of missing out. Was it like the technical knowledge rather than distribution?
He's saying when this video makes its way to Supersport or whoever gets hold of it. Like, he's telling you in the video that he's leaking it and then denying it. And the worst one for me, and we've referenced twice in his closing statements, paragraph 147 and 148, he basically goes in and says that he acted in this way because he felt that Nick Berry was acting in a racist manner towards his captain.
Yeah.
So he is trying to use the racist shield to defend his actions, which, as the QCs, as the panel, judicial panel, found out, there was no evidence of racism from Nick Berry. It is a totally unnecessary and spurious... it's an awful accusation.
A horrible thing to say about someone.
It's the worst thing you can say about someone. So you need to be absolutely sure of yourself before you throw that word around in that capacity about an international referee. It's outrageous.
Accuse Nick Berry of being racist to try and defend your...
I would probably...
Absolutely unacceptable actions is a disgrace. It really is.
That's what I ban him for. I mean, the whole sentencing alone would just be for that, really. It's unacceptable. You do not do this. You do not behave in this childish manner. Is it, you know, whatever horrible words that you can think of for it, you just don't do it. You just do not do that.
Yeah. And one of the things that is not addressed, it's not addressed in the sentencing or the charges, but it is the reason why he did it, is the fact that he's thrown Nick Berry under the bus, totally. Criticised him way beyond anything that was reasonable or appropriate, or indeed accurate in a lot of it. Not because of Nick Berry, but it was all to influence the referees for the following two test matches. Mm-hmm. That was the entire objective of this. That's not actually addressed in here. So both South African Rugby Union and Radzi have indicated that they are going to appeal in their initial statement after this.
I can't believe that they're appealing.
And I would be very interested to see whether there is any interest from World Rugby or the judicial panel to actually try and address that point. Because this addresses the facts, which is the abusive, the releasing the video, the threatening, etc., etc. It actually doesn't address what his real intention was. Now, that's probably a more difficult charge to prove.
Yeah.
But that's an equally serious one in my mind. And perhaps it's not necessary because of everything that they've kind of got him on. But, yeah, it's an astonishing read. And he is clear. He explicitly says, OK, we're going to go the Warren Gatland route. And by that, he means, he's making reference to the fact that Warren Gatland had mentioned the FAF high tackle from the South Africa A game, and also the fact that Marius Jonker was selected as the TMO. Mm. So he'd made, in an interview, two minor comments about refereeing decisions and refereeing selection. But there is a world of difference between having two off-the-hand comments in a post-match interview or pre-game interview, whichever it was, compared to a 62-minute long where you are just throwing a referee under the bus and throwing the whole discipline process for World Rugby, the refereeing process.
Yeah, the feedback process. There is the referees will regularly apologise to directors of rugby for getting things wrong. Regularly. I've seen emails of it happening because they get things wrong and they go through the review process saying, look, yeah, we might not have got that right, might not have got that right. That's, you know, it's fine. But to think you get special access to them, it's a very, very sensitive area of the game, because we have really good access to the officials in rugby, and that's how it should be. But, of course, that comes with certain risks, that doesn't it, like pressuring referees, trying to get an advantage, a non-competitive advantage, a competitive advantage through non-competitive means. And I mean, that's really, really serious. And that brings the game, the whole game, into disrepute, really. Mm. It makes it non-credible. So, no, you shouldn't have just an automatic right to talk to the refs. And by doing this, I think he sort of puts that relationship between refs and clubs and coaches a little bit under the spotlight. We don't want that, because at the moment, it's a nice, informal way that we do things, and that will remain. But if you've got behaviour like this, you're going to have to tighten up, you're going to have more procedures, more rules, all of that stuff.
Well, Nick Berry did respond to the list of clips that was initially sent to him with a comment, and he did, on multiple occasions, he put... Yeah, fair enough. Sorry, I got that wrong.
Yeah.
Sorry, I got that wrong. But like, lots of them were, no, I disagree. Look at what your
force.
Seven is doing.
It
doesn't meet the threshold, blah, blah, blah. So he did address all of these points. And for Razzy to do this. Now,
the one thing that really I found most disturbing, like, because Razzy Erasmus is an individual and he's been dealt with, but it's the fact that South African Rugby Union just completely gone along with him and haven't reined him in at all.
That is what the charge is for against South African Rugby Union. And I can... We were having a conversation last week about, like, kind of backing up your teammates.
Yeah.
And I kind of understand it to a degree, but then... You're right. It's... If this was to a lesser extent, if you'd done the Warren Gatlin approach, but... like Warren Gatland and just made five comments instead of two comments or three comments, whatever Warren Gatland said, back him up on that. To make a 62 minute long video with 38 separate instances and a 15 minute introduction about this, and then not to accept the charges, and then to use all of the spurious, non-existent and frankly offensive defence attempts that he did, I think you're right. I think South Africa should have reined him in.
They could have had a bit more nuance. They could have said, we back him up and we understand why he was so aggrieved with the decisions. However, we accept that was not the way to do it.
This is not the right way to do it. Yes.
The way I'd like South Africa to deal with it is pretty much how they have dealt with it. Externally, I want them to be belligerent and back up their guy, and internally I want them to hammer him. Like, internally he's got to be told that this is not acceptable, but that doesn't get out to the outside world. That is a in-house procedure.
Has a coach ever done something more egregious? I was trying to think.
Well, Bloodgate would be the only one I can think
of. Yeah, well, I was trying to see how would you rank Bloodgate and this?
Bloodgate's easily the worst one, because so many people were caught up in it who were innocent. Not innocent, but you know, could have been like the physio. I mean, the way she was treated, and the doctor.
The doctor.
You know, bringing people who are like civilians into this stuff. Yeah. That's where I really draw the line there. There was one thing the other day.
The Saracens.
Saracens salary cap.
Pretty egregious for such an extended period of time.
Yeah. But like giving part of your inheritance to players. Yeah, okay, fine. Giving your children's inheritance to players. I find that hard to get angry about. This is easier to get angry about, because he comes across as a bully. Real bully.
And he comes across as a bully, but he actually comes across as not that bright to me when he's contesting these charges.
Yeah.
But also, there's a point you made about Pat Lamb, which was how he likes to give off the impression that he's holier than thou and pious and all the rest of it. And then when the curtain is pulled back, like the Bristol versus Leicester game, where he's fuming at the referee in that instance, and he kind of It's the inauthenticity. It's showing your true... trying to paint the picture of one thing and then showing your true colours. And Razzie does... He's done that for a long time. If you watch any of the Chasing the Sun documentary, he does quite well paint that picture of being holier than thou.
Well, he was releasing all those videos, which were great, of him with his speeches and...
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah, of course.
And there's some great speeches, like the Lucano Am story is brilliant. But then when you
get... Pimpy, I think you meant.
Mpimpi is, yeah. The
is it Mpimpi?
Yeah. He has to give himself his jersey or something.
Yeah, they put the names of family members and stuff,
All that's... They had some genuinely incredible stories and incredible moments. But it's the contradiction between having that side and then showing your true colours. It makes it almost seem... if you are just a dickhead, if you are a Steve Diamond or an Eddie Jones, then...
That's fine.
It's less offensive when you show your true colours, because everyone knows your true colours all the time.
Yeah, don't dress it up as something which is not. But there again, people are complex.
True.
And this is something which we need to sort of bear in mind. So if you look at history, particularly of leaders of men in particular, I think of Ernest King, who was the naval officer in charge of the US Navy in the Second World War, and you read about this guy, the guy's a monster. The guy's a legitimate monster.
Well, Winston Churchill, First World War to Second World War. Very, very different. The people at Gallipoli don't thank him for...
No.
Yeah.
You know, all of these, a lot of leaders are just absolute animals. And what is Razzie Erasmus's job? It's to get physically dominant young men to smash into other physically dominant young men.
Yeah.
You know, it's about getting his team, specifically in South Africa, to bully other people. It's not surprising that he's a bully. It does not surprise me one bit that he's a belligerent, abrasive bully.
He won a World Cup.
But that's what I pay him to do.
And he won a Lions tour.
Yeah.
And this is the... I can kind of get this perspective that if you're a South African hearing us really have a go and quite strongly have a go at his actions, you might not care because you've won a World Cup. Razzie has won you a World Cup and he's won you a Lions tour.
He's done more than that. He's made South African rugby relevant again. It was an absolute joke. They had all these specimens, they couldn't pass a ball. He comes and says, no, this is how we're going to do it going forward, before you know exactly the success as you've laid out. And I think these unusual characters do have some unusual tendencies. It's why it's so important to have the discipline process in place to rein them in.
Yeah,
and fair play to World Rugby for that. They took their time, which I was finding a bit frustrating. But when you saw the depth of analysis and they went to all that was lacking was contrition from Razzie Erasmus, which is still
he's
lacking.
Belligerent. So I'll be very interested to, because he, as part of this judgment, he has to apologise within 14 days. Now obviously, he's going to appeal this decision to give him an extension to that.
If you're going
to
do it, do it.
But he should do it in a video in exactly the same way.
At some point, he's probably going to be forced to apologise, and I don't think it's going to be a very sincere apology.
Well, I don't see why they should make it. I don't see why I should do this. I hate this.
That would just be a totally forced and insincere apology.
It would be insincere. I don't like the idea of, you find him, you've banned him, the process has taken its place, but I don't like this sort of, kneel, bend the knee, say sorry. No, if he really doesn't think so, we've punished him. He's done his time. But he can get on with it now.
So if players appeal, or if players contest disciplinary action, they get longer bans than they would otherwise.
I'm open to that.
Yeah.
Now he's appealed it.
Yeah.
Do you think World Rugby could just go, okay, we disagree, and actually, as Phil said, now you've given us a bit more time, we're going to consider this. Let's make it 14 months.
Yeah, and just send him a bill for the costs.
Yeah,
and it'll soon stop, I'm sure.
You could do.
I don't like that, because then that's bullying from World Rugby's point of view. That would be,
or sending him the costs.
Yeah, making, threatening with money, because actually, if he feels like he's got a genuine case, if he genuinely feels aggrieved at the decision and that he should appeal, I'm glad there's a process there that he can.
Yes, that's a very good point.
I guess when you've. I mean, he's making World Rugby do an awful lot of legwork, reading WhatsApp messages and all sorts of other bits and pieces. I kind of think it's... by the way, who gives their phone up? Oh, maybe Nick Berry gave his phone up.
Yeah, fair point.
Because I'm not giving my phone to anybody.
straight in the wood chipper.
Yeah, exactly. Threw my laptop in.
I've already been cancelled once on this podcast alone. I don't want to get cancelled again.
So maybe that's how they
find it. On the last podcast, I can't remember.
It'll be interesting to see, because he must think he's got some angle other than the weakest angles that he has tried to use. He might be getting Marco Mazzotti's team of New York lawyers who are on standby.
Rudy Giuliani.
Yeah.
Release the Kraken.
Can't wait for that.
Although I did notice that his counsel was called Fricky Erasmus. So whether that is a relation to Razzy Erasmus.
Fricky Erasmus.
Yeah.
Cool.
There were some cool names.
Anyway,
we've
gone in hard on Razzy there. Let's change to...
Well, at least one more thing that is definitely worth mentioning about this report.
Yes.
The previous cases that they named, the precedent that's been set, was awesome, because they said there's been lots of examples of coaches and directors of rugby...
Let's guess.
Having similar sanctions, or not to this extent. No one's this extent.
Let's guess.
In the internationals, or
well, it's everything. It is a who's who of rugby dickheads.
Steve
basically.
Diamond.
Steve Diamond's got to be in there.
Steve Diamond.
Diamond in.
Is Eddie Jones in there?
Eddie Jones is in there.
Is he?
Ding. Cockrell? Eddie Jones is the first one. Cockrell. Ding.
Bob. Oh. But does it go far enough back for Bob Dwyer of Australia?
He's not one referenced. But they do refer to extensive. Gallon's not in there, interestingly. So obviously the Warren Gatland
plays a very smart game. He never quite.
He knows where the line is.
Yeah. Subtle.
Goes right up to it.
I had one just before, but he's gone. Who the hell was it? Oh, Dr. Brendan.
Brendan
Venter. And the other one who's not a DOR was Eliota Firmino. Sapolo.
Yes, I can see why he would might make a list of dickheads.
He's got some spicy takes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And by the way, we say dickhead in a...
In the New Zealand rugby sense.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
In a loving way.
In a loving way, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Absolutely.
Because if these guys, when they're on your side...
Yeah, I can totally
see that if I was South African, you would love Razzy because he has stood up for your nation... Yeah. He has won you. He's won you a World Cup. He's won you a Lions tour, two of the three tests. So I can totally see. But I just hope that anyone who has that perspective can read this and see there is the line, and there is skirting up to the line, which Gatland does very well. Eddie Jones sometimes steps across that line, and then this is like if Gatland was a locksmith and he's like delicately picking the lock. This is just throwing a lump of TNT at it.
It's that little meme video of the SWAT team bashing in a door.
Yeah, love that video.
Crikey. Well, yes. Let's change something. Well, we just mentioned Steve Diamond. He has been confirmed as the lead...
Rugby consultant.
Rugby consultant at Worcester Warriors.
And what was their result this weekend?
They 68-13.
Correlation's not causation, but I'm telling you, something's happening there. Great move by Worcester.
Chris Ashton will be delighted as well. It's a lifeline for him.
I tell you what a story this is. So, Chris Ashton, Mutual consent, leaving Sale, allegedly. Don't think it was for one second, but let's just go with what, you know.
Yeah, the press release.
Yeah.
There'll be an NDA to prevent anything else coming
having
out.
Left Quinn's acrimoniously after leaving Saracens.
So
one of Steve Diamond's off-the-shelf NDAs, by the way.
Get me the file! Just signs it. Okay, so this is how I see... this in my head, this is the image that I've got of Chris Ashton. So, he's playing for Worcester, he's not happy. He does the old Chris Ashton trick of complaining to the higher-ups about the direction of the club. The coaching is up to standard. Look, we need new coaches. What do Worcester do? They listen to him and they bring in Steve Diamond. Chris, we've sorted it out, mate. Here he is. Not that one! I'd say Chris Ashton is done.
In rugby.
Absolutely done.
So is he 34 now?
Yeah. He is not playing in Worcester because he's not available. Jonathan Thomas won't talk about it because they just won't. The story at Worcester is interesting. Jonathan Thomas is interesting. The squad is interesting. The comms is dreadful. Absolutely dreadful. They do not communicate anything well at all in any way. So they've probably suspended their best player, but they won't talk. They won't talk about why he's not available for 4 weeks.
Chris Ashton is... I admire him because immediately before COVID, he got a new long-term deal.
Yep.
Mm.
And now he's moved on again and he's not even playing and he's collecting his cash.
Chris Ashton is an incredibly smart man. In some ways. In other ways, he's not. And maybe he's too smart. Do you know, when someone just has an opinion and just won't shut up and just talks in the wrong times, the wrong people... But he's a smart guy. It just gets him in trouble. He doesn't know when to stop. I don't think he'll be in Steve Diamond's good books.
Mm. So it's interesting the role that Diamond is going to be doing, because he's slotted in between, as I understand it from the Worcester announcement, he slots in between Alan Solomons as director of rugby and Jonathan Thomas as head coach.
Yeah.
So Jonathan Thomas is reporting into Steve Diamond, and Diamond is then reporting up to Alan Solomons, which that can't last that long, can it?
No, Solomons is there. He's a physical presence rather than anything else, and he just wanders around the club, and I just think he's waiting for his contract to run down. I don't think there's much that he does there.
Steve Diamond is doing recruitment.
Yeah.
Number one.
Mm.
He's going to roll his sleeves up and do the man management.
Yeah, and I would say if he's doing recruitment, I would suggest he's going to be sniffing around Sale Sharks players.
Mm.
And in particular, if I was to be a betting man, I've got no inside information on this whatsoever, but if I was to have inside information, I would suggest he'd be looking at the non-EQP players that Sale have got, because Sale needs to readjust their squad to get more EQP players in. So maybe a Kunu Stazen could be a target for him. Maybe a Baron McGuigan could be a target.
Ake van der Merwe.
All these sort of lads at Sale need to... they don't need to move them on yet, but there's conversations to be had.
Yeah.
Much like AJ.
Do a deal for the three Dupree twins.
Two twins. There'll be triplets then.
Oh, yeah.
three brothers. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you only want the good ones. You only want the twins.
Well, it comes as a package, you see. And
That's a problem. Yeah.
And we'll talk about
getting Joe Ford and Mike Ford.
Exactly. No, they don't want that. They just want that one. Some of them remarkably well to only get one Ford.
Yeah.
Let's do that then. So, we did a podcast. I'm going back years now. I can't even remember what started it, but we did a fly half.
Freddie Burns started it and George Ford.
Yeah, Ford again last time, wasn't it? About 2015,
did you use Magic
16?
Roundabout?
Yeah, I was just getting it up now. Magic Roundabout theme. So let's do a fly half merry-go-round segment on this podcast, because big news, which, I mean, we were talking about it last week, and we were landing on the side that he's not going to leave Leicester.
He's
just trying to engineer himself the best possible deal he can, but George Ford's not going to leave the biggest club in England when they're just about to really start doing things.
It's madness.
He's been there for so many years when they've been awful. They finally get good.
Bye.
And he's off.
Maybe he doesn't like being good.
Maybe.
Maybe that's the thing.
Why didn't he want to go back to Bath then?
Yeah, that's a good thing. I'm ready now.
You're ready for me.
I don't know why. So, everything we said last week was right. every single thing we said doesn't stack up. The money in Leicester is great. He can be a more key player there. He can't be a sell. Everything was right, except for one small detail. He really wants to come back to the North West.
He's an Oldham lad.
It's his legitimate thing. He's got two businesses. His partner's up here. He wants to come back. So less money is on the table for him. He's taking it.
It's less than 2 hours away.
What's that? Leicester?
It's a 10-minute flight, as Man United did the other week.
Oh, yeah. Ridiculous.
They flew there.
They flew to Leicester.
What?
Yeah. it's 10 minutes in the air.
Do you even get to cruising altitude? I don't think you do.
You just about like skim over the Pennines and then you're touching down again.
Sounds like a dangerous flight. Anyway. Fine.
Just do your airship idea.
Airlander. Well, Pilot Episodes is back this Wednesday, so
awesome.
I might talk about Airlander.
Yes.
What was I saying?
So yeah, George Ford. It makes sense.
Yeah, just the family pull, the partner, the business, the future, the life beyond rugby, which I suppose you will be thinking about now.
100%.
He's 28, though. He's got 6-7 more years of being able to play at this level and command. He'd command best part of a million euro salary in France.
But I do. Yeah, no, I agree with you. And life is short, but he has earned plenty of money. And I get you when you get to 28 and you're in a relationship for a while, particularly rugby players tend to have children earlier, don't they?
Yeah, much earlier.
But just when I've been chatting to players around, and I was chatting with Dan Bigger when I worked at a Gloucester game earlier this season, and he's doing up a house in South Wales, and he's got small kids, and he's just turning 30, and yes, he will get big offers to go to Japan, but I was listening to him sort of thinking, yeah, that Japan thing might not work. When you've got kids of a certain age, you might actually be like, no, I just want to go and...
Yeah.
I've been travelling around, I've been working every weekend. I want to... The light is there at the end of the tunnel where I'll be doing something different and I want to base myself there.
Do you know, like, the £1 million a year is a lot of money in France. Obviously it is. It's life-changing. But for someone like George Ford, the local currency of reputation is huge. Mm-hmm. So if you're in an area... Like, the Fords in Oldham. I was working in Oldham for 5 years. And they're like superstars, and I think having that name value, those community roots, gives you so many more opportunities when you leave the game. Whereas if you're in the middle of London, nobody cares that you're George Ford. Nobody gives a shit. Whereas in Oldham, everyone cares. Everyone cares. It's, you know, they get treated the way Kevin Sinfield gets treated in Oldham. You'd think he was, you know, in Hollywood.
But I imagine you get treated pretty well in Clermont or Toulouse or La Rochelle or
not
Toulon.
Not passing through. You know, I don't think... You know, you can maybe...
Look at what Wilkinson did.
That is true. Wilkinson, yeah, he's a god.
He's quite a good example.
Yeah. So
there's lots of ones. There's lots of guys who didn't have as successful...
I would love to see George Ford in Clermont.
Clermont would
or
be
Toulouse.
A nice, Clermont would be a nice fit.
So do you think guys like his signing? That's what I want to know. There's two new players.
Having lost AJ McGinty, yes, on the one hand, I think Sale have got a clear number one fly half who is absolutely awesome. On the flip side, because of the reason you said they can't marquee him like Leicester could, and he will be very expensive, he still, I'd like to think, will be in Eddie Jones's reckoning with England.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Means I don't know if they're going to... I think AJ McGinty was... of significantly more value to them than George Ford potentially could be.
But if they're both the same amount of money...
Oh, if they're both the same amount of money...
Like which is...
The most likely
Which
now.
Is possible, yeah. It's possible that they're not... poles apart.
Not what AJ McGinty was on.
Sanderson said in the press conference this week that they're on probably similar money.
Yeah.
A little bit more for Ford.
Yes, but if they're similar, I think it's quite smart. And I think it could... very well be that Ford only features as a bit part player for England over the next few years.
Well, it's looking that way.
Yeah.
Farrell's not going anywhere, I don't think.
No, Farrell's out for 12 weeks or whatever it is. Might miss the start of the Six Nations. But
Marcus and Slade?
Yeah.
So, anyway, so I am not sure on this deal. I'm not sure at all.
I do quite like it. I think it's a good move.
On the face
a good
of it,
move for Sale.
Yeah, on the face of it, it's great. Isn't
I think it's a better move for Sale than it is for George Ford, actually.
Apart from
the local lad stuff. If I was advising George Ford, I'd be saying Clermont, Toulon, La Rochelle,
Japan.
Japan. Yeah.
Yeah, but there's Ford also wants to win stuff.
He really wants to win stuff.
So Japan is if you want to just go and drink special brew, strong zero, not special brew.
Yeah, not.
It's basically the same thing, so...
Yeah, it amounts to the same thing.
Yeah.
Well, let's break down the impact of this then, OK? So, say I'll bring in a genuine world-class fly-half, I think.
Yeah.
And that's really good, so... Yeah. Kudos to them. I don't really like it in terms of, you know, the whole narrative Alex Anderson is a genius type stuff, because, you know, any genius can sign the best fly-half.
Who happens to live... grew up 10 miles from your stadium.
I could be that genius. I could literally spend money on a fly half. That's fine. So I don't really like it from that angle. I don't think you should try and replace a player like for like. I think it's very, very difficult. Now, with Ford, he is undoubtedly an upgrade. It pains me to say that because I really, really like AJ McGinty, but he is an upgrade. I think any impartial observer could make that case. But in the same way I don't like AJ going to Bristol and then spending a lot of money on a non-marquee because it takes up so much of your cap, you've got to make the same argument for Sale as well.
Yeah, Ford must be on 10% of the salary cap.
Yeah.
If not slightly more.
Ford will cost Sale another player. So someone's going to have to go, or a couple of lads will have to go.
A few lads. I mean, if you take just over 5 million excluding marquee players, 40 guys in the squad... That means the average guy can only be on, 120, 140k, something like that. Yeah. So that means you're getting rid of four players, four average. And I know that's the mean. The modal player will probably be on lower than that.
Yeah.
So you're losing multiple opportunities for different guys.
Exactly. So that's the first thing. The second thing is, who loses out from this? There's some interesting politics to be played out, because the guy who's going to be most annoyed would be Rob Dupree. Now, Rob Dupree is a standalone player. Fine. Who cares if Rob Dupree is upset? Rob Dupree is the head of the Rob Dupree Union, the Dupree Brother Union. Well, that's a little bit more tricky, isn't it? This is why, you know, politics and, you know, signing families and whatnot isn't always the best way to go. As Bath found out when they sacked George Ford's dad. And then Leicester found out when they sacked George Ford's dad. So, and also, Sale did once sack Joe Ford. So, you know it all comes, you know, it's all like swings and roundabouts. So there could be a little bit of turmoil there. Sale also, I do believe, and I've been told this is not a thing, but I really can't see Faf hanging around for much longer. I think he's grown, not outgrown the club, because he hasn't. I think the club is sort of moving on quite nicely without him. I think they love Rafi. I love Rafi. Yeah, that looks like the future to me. There's a lot of money there to be spent. He is the second marquee player, I think, which means they can't replace him if he goes. But if Lude wants to go as well, they could be in the middle of a revolution here. So this might be Alex Anderson's chance to get his own people in. So he started with Ford, great place to start.
Yeah.
He might want to rebuild his coaching squad, because I'm not entirely sure that they're all pulling their weight in exactly the way Sanderson would want. So it's a bit of a rebuild there.
Yeah, it's mainly still Diamond's coaching.
Except for Jamie Peacock, I think they're all the same. So yeah. Jamie Peacock's in there, but Jamie Peacock has probably come in via the Paul Deacon, Mike Forshaw routes.
Yeah.
Dorian West is still there. Yeah. The staff are all still there. He's going to need at some point to appoint his own people, much like Borthwick did.
Mm-hmm.
So George Ford is leaving a team which has gone through that horrible process of getting where they are to a team which I don't think will go nearly to the depths that Leicester went to, but they're going to be revolutionising, I would say, in the next few years, because if Faf and Lude decide to up sticks and go, which is widely rumoured and continues to be rumoured, it
would make sense from a couple of angles.
So if those two go, that's like your cultural leaders, and what about are the Duprees okay with this? Because you've actually got to consider their opinion when it's through. You don't have to consider Rob Dupree.
Except you need the other two.
Yeah.
And John Luke.
So let's flip to Leicester. Where does this leave them?
Do you know what I would do if I was Leicester? I've thought this. I would make a statement. Do you know, like Mad Men? And they say, we're no longer dealing with tobacco companies.
Yeah.
And that was the main thing. I would make a statement saying, we're no longer going to deal in marquee players. We have a wage structure and we'll use our marquee signing sensibly, but it'll be within our wage structure, and the person we're going to marquee is one of the senior players, and there'll be a group of five of them, like at Ellis Genge for instance, and you just marquee him because it's sensible. But don't go out and get a big marquee guy, because there's only one of them. I mean, what difference is it going to make?
Well, yeah, it was two. When is it flipped to one?
It's one now, unless you grandfather two in, right?
Okay.
to say I'll have two, but Leicester have one. So Leicester do now have a marquee space available because George Ford was their guy.
Was there. Because he'd been there for more than 3 years.
Yes. So you can't replace George Ford. Spend it on locks. Spend it on locks and tighthead props. Because George Ford, as good as he is, has been best when he's behind a massive pack. Owen Farrell, as good as he is, always plays behind a massive pack. We've seen George Ford behind a rubbish pack, and it was pretty rubbish. So,
he was still the best player.
He was the best player, actually. Yeah, that is unfair.
Yeah.
But he still didn't win.
He just avoided relegation.
Yeah. He kept them up.
Yeah, that's a very fair point.
Single-handedly.
If they didn't have George Ford, if they had, I don't know, Freddie Burns playing behind that pack, they would be in the Championship.
That's a better way to put it. So even when George Ford is amazing, you need a big pack. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, he was amazing, but they still almost got relegated. And they only avoided it by the skin of their teeth twice.
Yes. Exactly. So go and buy forwards. Go and buy as many forwards as you possibly can.
Well, they have.
Argument is they've got that because look at them.
Their pack is awesome now.
They still need more.
Now, they do need a 10. They've got Freddie Burns.
Yep.
I think they should go for a high-level 10.
Well, they like Bryce Hegarty. Mm. They like him a lot. So they've got Bryce Hegarty and they've got Freddie Burns, in my opinion, as an insurance policy for exactly... They must have those things on the table. In fact, well they obviously did because they counted him with more money and he still wanted to leave. So they've got the ducks in a row, Leicester. I wouldn't be too worried. You evolve through these things. You don't directly replace them.
But if they counted him with more money, they can bring in anyone they want. They've got that money available.
Yeah. Yeah, they have.
So, let's talk. So you're talking the boring, pragmatic, just buy more forwards. Let's talk the exciting side of it.
Get Quinn Cooper.
Who would you get in if you can get anyone in the world tomorrow to play to play for Leicester? Who do you go?
Finn Russell. You won't get him. But so that you just said I'd pick him, but or Untermack or but oh,
no, Untermack's oh. impossible.
None of those are going to happen. So
Quade Cooper is possible.
Andre Pollard is possible.
So his contract at Montpellier finishes this year. He will be unavailable for a big proportion of the year because of South
point.
Africa.
That's a fair point.
So one of the
and he was reportedly on. Well over a million euros.
Yeah, he's been offered seven figures apparently in Japan.
He will not be going.
One of the funny things about rugby recruitment, right, is that there is a process, and I talk to some people in recruitment relatively regularly, and they tell you kind of what's what. And I'll give you an example of the process, right? So this won't be. I'm not breaking any news here, but they'll start off with like hundreds of names. And then hundreds of names will be whittled down to a handful of names. And then a handful of names will be whittled down to a bunch of coaching videos. And then, a bunch of footage videos. And then from there, they'll start getting personal references, like Exeter do. And then eventually they'll hold some interviews, some meetings, and they'll get their player. Very, very common practice. That's what they do for the third choice, second row. When it comes to fly half, they'll literally have three names. They'll put more time and effort into their... £120,000 third choice lineout jumper. The 700k fly half.
That's like the fact that when I bought my house, I didn't even see the upstairs before I went. Yeah. I was the first person to see the house, and I turned to the estate agent and went,
"That one.
If I give an asking price offer now, can you make sure nobody else sees it?" And they went, "Yeah." I went, "Right, I don't want anyone else to see this." But I spent. Legitimately hours going through coffee machines before I arrived on the one I went with.
But that's almost as much as many people's house, your coffee machines.
Yes, that is true. You media types, unbelievable. How the other half live. What a brag, by the way. What a vicious, humble brag.
I actually went with Phil's recommendation because it's the one that he had.
He's got the...
Prophetico.
I wanted an end... Because I'd not had a coffee machine before, a bean to cup. And so Phil said, do you know what? If you just want a reliable one that's going to make you a good espresso... go for this one, and I went for the one your entry level
Barista Express.
Then you can work out what you want over time. That'll do you for a couple of years, and while you work out what the next level up is.
What's your next one, Phil?
The La Marzocca Linea Mini Fiorentina Special Edition in it's like forest green with wooden handles.
It's so nice.
It is
beautiful.
I'm so annoyed because I've got a nice coffee machine. I can't really.
But this.
I like he's got a little shortcut. He's got a little tab shortcut on his.
I can never just.
Oh my word, that is incredible.
Yes, you can. It would be there for the rest of your life.
It would be. It's absolutely stunning.
Oh, that is beautiful.
Let's see. Yeah.
That is gorgeous.
It's absolutely beautiful.
Quite special, that.
But
that's just engineering precision and beauty.
It is way, way, way too expensive. It is ludicrously expensive.
It's an investment. I think that'll go up in value.
Well, possibly, because there are very few, because that is a genuine limited
edition.
How much
is it? Out of interest?
No.
Is it less than your car?
It is less than my car.
Is it more than my car?
It's less than your car, I think.
It's probably not, actually.
Secondhand cars, bonkers.
Oh, yeah, secondhand cars.
Absolutely bonkers.
Yeah, I'm almost tempted to sell my car now, actually. I bought it 12 months ago, and I could sell it for, like, $4,000
but
more
you'd have to
today.
Buy one.
Well, I don't, because we've got one car.
Oh, okay, and you're in Manchester, so...
I could live for a period of time without a car. I just like my car.
It's a cool car. Right, so, back to Fly Hoffs.
Yes.
So Andre Pollard probably won't happen if he is being offered seven figures from Japan.
Well, it depends if he wants to take rugby seriously or not.
Callum Sheedy?
Because he's got to go back to Wales, hasn't he?
Weirdly enough, he might be one that fits Leicester better. So Leicester is a weird club, and they've tried flary type fly halves. It hasn't worked. In fact, it's gone horribly wrong at times for them. So they need someone. I mean, if you've got a bit of flair in you, like George Ford does, great. But first and foremost, you've got to be a pragmatic kind of fly half. Finn Russell would just like mixing oil and water going to. Walford Road. It'd be fascinating to watch, but it wouldn't work.
Yeah, and Borthwick would never go for that.
I imagine, no, he wouldn't.
He just would not want it.
I reckon Borthwick and Ford probably work really well because they're both absolute students of the game to the nth degree. They can have.
Which Quade Cooper presumably would not fit that bill for that exact reason.
Yes, exactly right. Exactly right.
Yeah, albeit he might be one who is available, the right talent. End of the spectrum, albeit he's what, 33, 34?
What other like South African or Kiwi fly halves are there playing in France, say, that aren't going to be international players but are awesome? La Rochelle?
Ahia West, yeah.
What's his name still playing? Is Colin Slade still playing?
He was at Pau, wasn't he?
Pau. Alex Lazowski?
Aaron Cruden?
Is he even still playing?
Don't know.
He went back to the Chiefs, Waikato Chiefs, a couple of years ago, but I'm not sure if he's still playing.
I think he's still knocking about.
He might still be playing there. I mean, so Colin Slade is now 34.
Not him then. Reese Priestland.
According to this, he's playing in Japan, of course, Mitsubishi Dino Balls for Colin Slade. Aaron Cruden will be playing in Japan, won't he? He'll be a similar age. Aaron Cruden.
It's hard to think of a
32, only 32. Aaron Cruden.
Japan. Must be Japan.
Well, he played for the Chiefs last year. Now, Cabelco Steelers. Japan. Of course.
So, they are out there. The missing part of the jigsaw for Leicester is not having a young, up-and-coming fly half on their books. They did have one in Costello, but he was allowed back into Wales to fulfil those ambitions. They don't have anyone, except for Hegarty. So, I don't think they need one. And you've already got a lot of money tied up in that fly-half position at Leicester. They've done good work to make sure that this doesn't catch them completely by surprise. I just say go forward. Go forward with what you've got.
The problem with that is there ends the fly-half merry-go-round. Yes. No one else is moving.
yeah, true.
Everyone else stays the same.
I can't
switch the lights
I can't
off.
Think of another player based in the Premiership.
Danny Cipriani, he's going to need to move at the end of the season.
He will need to move.
Judging by the season he's having at Bath, he will be out of a job.
There's no chance Danny Cipriani is going to work under Steve Borthwick.
No.
Not a hope in hell.
Do Saracens have someone that they could steal?
Manu Vanapola?
Manu? Lazowski?
Lazowski, yeah.
Lazowski is an interesting name.
Depends where he has ambitions of playing. Because he will occupy that kind of utility role... 10, 12, 13 for Saracens.
He played 10 for Montpellier in Andre Pollard's absence and did well.
Yeah.
He did. Yeah. As Montpellier can do because they're just perennial losers.
Well,
despite having the most enormous and expensive team.
Yeah. So they. So actually, Saracens could field potentially a back line full of guys who can play 10. They've got Goode, who's played 10.
Yeah.
They've got Farrell, who can play 10.
But 10, he'll move into 12.
Yep.
Lozowski moves to 13.
Malins
on the one wing.
And then Manu van der Poel is the only guy who can't play multiple positions.
So he's at 10.
And he's at 10.
Yeah.
So I suppose Maitland plays across the back three as well.
He does play across the back three.
Not really a 10.
Yeah,
no, he's not a 10.
Of all the players at Saracens, he's the most likely to get the 10 shirt at Tigers, I would say. Because they are not moving.
I can't think of anyone else in the Premiership that they would.
There's no one to be had, I don't think. Oh, here's an interesting thought I had. What about Finn Smith from Worcester?
Or Charlie Atkinson from Wasps?
Something like that.
Yeah, or Orlando Bailey. The Bath.
I would love to take Orlando Bailey. I think he's very good.
I like Charlie Atkinson, actually.
Yeah,
that's a good shout. And that would fit, actually, because
he's behind. He seems to be behind Umaga in the pecking order.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Local lad.
Sepawanga. Bring back Sepawanga.
Sepawanga. Is he Leon now, is it?
Yeah, he is. On Mega Money. Mega Money doing nothing, probably.
Yeah. Did you ever watch? I was thinking about Sepawanga the other day. Did you watch the All or Nothing with the All Blacks? I think you watched it, Tim. Because he was like, he was only 3 years ago.
Yeah, he was the boy,
the star. Yeah. So how things went so badly wrong at Wasps?
Yeah, they did go wrong. There's no other way to put it, is there?
Yeah, he was not starting. He was starting behind a kid and a geriatric in Umaga or Little Jimmy. And then he was. And then when he did get a start, he was at 15 because of injuries.
What about Bryn Gatland?
Brino Gatland, get Brino on. I have no. I don't know. I know it's boring.
One.
It's boring, but just evolve the team. Don't go hunting for stars. Manage your cap sensibly because that's how you win premierships.
No,
sensible.
They're
cap
going for marquee player.
Pay anything under the sun to get
what about,
Romain Ntamack or Richie Moonga.
What about Simmons?
Simmons would be a good shot. I'm not sure he'd leave Exeter, but he would fit the bill.
He would fit the bill. He'd be a good fit in
Simmons
terms of the style of play.
Simmons work.
Who about the Argentinian tent? I'm just thinking. Who's the Argentinian tent?
Just on that.
Nicolas Sanchez.
Yeah, you could get Nicolas Sanchez.
Who's the outgoing tent.
And the outgoing tent. He's like a couple of years out of him.
Yeah, you definitely get a few years out of him.
He's quite a sort of controlling
Simmons,
tent.
Right? The reason I said Simmons is because if he's not available, maybe the starter at Exeter is Harvey Skinner. So Harvey Skinner has taken all the game time from Simmons, and originally we all thought it was because they wanted to rest Simmons. I don't think it is. I think Harvey Simmons is now the recognised starter within those four walls of Sandy Park. So there's another thought for you boys.
That's possible. Santiago Carreras was the starting fly half for Argentina this week, who already plays in the Premiership as a winger for Gloucester.
I was about to ask that. Is it the same boy?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, but Gloucester never use him as a fly half.
Not from what I've seen.
Are you sure it's the
same
guy?
By the sounds
guy?
Of it, he needs
yeah,
to be
it's,
Saracens.
It's him and his brother.
Get him to Saracens, quick.
Mateo, who plays at Newcastle, and Santiago, who plays at Gloucester.
Yeah, this baffles me, this, because Gloucester make no song or dance about the fact that they have an international fly half. I mean, they're looking for an international fly half. They've got one on the wing.
They already have got one.
They've got one on the wing. do you think they don't talk to him?
Maybe. I'll tell you who they could go for. It might be a tough sell, but France have got three incredibly young, incredibly talented fly halves. They cannot possibly all play at once. They've tried working Jalibert and Ntamack.
Yeah,
Ntamack is the boy. Ntamack starts at 10. They don't historically. You made this point, JB. France don't historically have a ball playing centre. They like ball playing 9 and 10. Occasionally ball playing 15.
John Dante,
and then Dante and Ficou, or Ficou and Vakatawa.
Yeah.
Or Bastereau and another Bastereau. The third choice France fly half is Louis Carbonell, who is very young, incredibly talented, playing at Toulon, who are not the Toulon of a few years ago.
They'll still have a lot of cash.
They'll have a bit of. Bujolad's not there anymore. Mm-hmm. Not got as much cash as they would have done. I'd go for him.
Yeah, that's not a bad shout.
That's a
now,
great
he
shout.
Is, he is maybe not a Borthwick type player. He's a spirited, cheeky chappy,
and also not that it should
talent.
Be not that, well it is it's obviously a barrier, but if he doesn't speak English and Borthwick's got incredibly complex ideas that he needs to tell him, and you know, you're letting this young lad run the attack, and instead of saying demi switch, he says falsy slicey. You know, it's going to be, some things can get lost in translation.
possible. But yeah, that's a talented player.
Any suggestions,
available.
Let us know. Yeah. We've probably contact headchasers at gmail.com.
There's probably like a couple of incredibly obvious ones that we've missed.
Well, I tell you what an exciting time to be at Leicester Tigers, though. Because if you are the guy responsible for recruitment, you've now got a fly half to replace, and you've got a marquee cap, and a marquee spot.
Yeah, so potentially unlimited money.
Well, only limited by the fact that Leicester wants to be profitable.
Yes.
Yes.
You know, that's the only small issue.
But they also have the deepest pockets outside of the salary cap of any club.
They do and they don't, you know.
In the UK.
Like, their owners are not particularly wealthy. It's a good business.
No, yeah, in terms of the business. In terms of if you wanted to do it on a sustainability within profit.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they've got to turn a profit first. They've not been doing that for the last few years. And obviously, COVID absolutely rocked them. They are one of the few... The clubs that are best run, ironically, are the ones that will be in the most trouble, because the worst run clubs have rich owners that bail them out.
Yes,
the
they can get away with
sustainable businesses really got punished hard by COVID because they've got to run a business.
Here's one little left field shout as well. See, I heard for the last few years at Bath, before he came through into the first team, there were loads of people saying Tom de Glanville was their future 10.
Oh, really?
Mm. Yeah.
That is interesting.
He's a nice 15. Good runner.
So... I'll just put him in as a curveball. Tom de Glanville, maybe, if he wants to play 10, that is.
And there's a nice player, 21-year-old, used to play for JB's beloved Benetton up there, but unfortunately he's now at Montpellier in Paolo Garbisi.
Oh, yeah.
Who would be quite a nice,
again,
good option.
Yeah, I think he's someone primarily English-speaking, because you've got to lead this team.
That's the other thing. Having Leicester with a hole to fill and money burning a hole in their pocket is a fantastic thing for all fly halves negotiating contracts right now.
Yeah, don't do it, Leicester. Don't do it. I just carry on.
By two enormous South African second rows.
Yeah.
Yes.
Another two.
Oh, imagine. Well, do you know who is looking for a job? I think he's looking for a job. I don't know if it's for sure, actually. But George Cruz is going to want to come back at some point.
Yeah, ahead of the next World Cup.
And
England should
I'd love
him,
that.
England should want him to come back.
George Cruz at Leicester Tigers top feels good.
Hmm.
Or a Sale Sharks top.
Lewd out, cruise in.
I would make that change tomorrow. I've seen him three times. A lot of money for not very much productivity.
Yeah. He's been on the road for 18 weeks.
Yeah. Ridiculous.
Any more? So let us know your thoughts. There must be some names we've missed. Any more?
Yeah, any Premiership?
There are Premiership fixtures next week. Very good point.
Finally, some real rugby to talk about.
What do we have?
The Premiership Rugby Cup. They need to do something with that. I suspect it will be binned next season.
Unless Bath are playing, in which case it's hilarious.
But I suspect it will get binned. I would love to see, and I know less games is better and all the rest of it. Nevertheless, there is no A-League now. So
is it not? Has that been canned again?
There's no A-League. The Premiership Rugby Cup was meant to be the outlet. However, because there was such a gap for some clubs between Premiership games, Gloucester, like last week, ended up playing a first team in the Premiership Rugby Cup. I would love to see Championship clubs in, like trying to make it feel a bit old school, a bit FA Cup-ish.
Yeah, that would be cool. A proper cup competition.
Yeah. But there you go.
There's four games on Friday night.
What?
Why is there four games on Friday night? I'm just looking. There's no internationals next week.
What's going on there?
I mean, there are internationals, but the internationals consist of Russia versus Chile and Barbarians versus a Samoa 15.
So
there are no internationals. We have on Friday night Bath hosting Exeter Chiefs.
Bath hosting the Chiefs. Do you know what? Chiefs are not the force that they were. I've come to this conclusion, though. Everyone's been found out in the Premiership, but they particularly been found out. Regardless, they are going to hand Bath a beatdown.
5-point win. Exeter Chiefs.
Yeah.
I don't think it'll be a beatdown in that way. Bath will be back to full strength.
Ooh.
But Exeter will win.
Next game, Friday night. This will be interesting. Bristol host Northampton Saints.
Ooh, tasty that.
Bristol host Northampton Saints. So
I think this will be a good game to watch.
Yeah, is everybody back? No is the answer. They're not early because they'll have some rest.
I think they'll be mandated rest period. It'll certainly be, for England.
Yeah, it'll depend. So I imagine Sam Simmons might play for Exeter because he only played a certain number of minutes for England.
Yeah.
Courtney's not
Whereas
playing
Courtney
for,
Laws will not yeah, be not playing be for Northampton. Playing. Dan no Bigger chance. Will not be playing for Northampton.
No, North, well, Dan Bigger will.
Dan Bigger will.
Oh, Dan Bigger belt. Might, yeah.
Dan yeah, Bigger will. Get the pound of flesh out of him.
Stuart Hogg will be playing for Chiefs.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Straight back into the grinder.
I'm going to go for Northampton.
Yeah, me too. Give me Northampton.
Just.
Then Friday night as well. Newcastle Falcons host Steve Diamonds. And Alan Solomons and Jonathan Thomas's Worcester Warriors.
Yeah, the new Leicester Tigers management structure. The old new Leicester Tigers management structure.
Which was the old Gary Gold Bath management structure.
Yeah, it should work wonders at Worcester. Against, do you know, Newcastle are really good. They're really good.
Hmm.
Newcastle win this.
Newcastle definitely to win this.
Newcastle.
And then also Friday night, we have Wasps host Gloucester.
Wasps.
Oh, this is the hardest to call for me.
I love Gloucester. I think Gloucester are great now.
Yeah, I think I underestimated Gloucester.
I think I underestimated Skivington.
Mm.
Yep. Definitely.
He's got real solid foundations. Nevertheless, I'm going to go with Wasps at home.
Gloucester.
Wasps. Just. But
that's really hard to call that.
Yeah,
one.
And I'd like to see the team sheets really.
Yes.
If Wasps are bringing some of their players back, maybe a bit stronger.
I'm with you.
If they've still got guys out, I can see Gloucester winning that.
Yeah, I'll give you my 100% guaranteed picks on Friday.
Yes, when the team sheets are announced.
Exactly.
Then one game on Saturday, which is Derby, West London Derby, Quinns London Irish.
Lovely.
At the Stoop.
There will be 1,000 points scored in this game. And it will be 40-0 by half time to Quinns, and then it will be a draw. This is a draw. Let them know if you're
wrong. 85 all
85
draw.
85 all draw.
Perfect.
Quinns narrowly at home.
Yes. Give me that. And then one game on Sunday at Allianz Park. Saracens host JB's beloved Sale.
I think Sarah. Oh, God, that's a good game.
So this is a week off, rest week for Leicester.
Yeah, so I think a full strength. I think Sale are going to go full strength for this.
Mm.
And I think Sale will win.
Mm. So Saracens, Jamie George is out until Six Nations. Faz is out until the Six Nations. Elliot Daly is obviously still out. And Riccatelli, Riccatoni. Rigatoni?
Rigatoni, yeah.
Yeah.
The lovely, shapely, athletic, legged, tight head Italian prop is out. I think it was cruciate against Argentina. Oh. So they lose.
Oh, dear.
The chap who has been their starting tight head prop, who has been looking awesome for them.
But they also get Vincent Cock back.
They do. And a few others. Like, they get a Marrow back. They get a Malins back.
Straight in, though, for Marrow.
Marrow won't be straight in.
No.
Malins might, albeit he did play.
I'm going to go Sail Away.
Minutes.
Sail Away. Sail Away. So. Come on, boys. I mean, I hope for a good game.
Give me Saracens. Mm. Hard to bet against them.
But hard to bet against
stretched.
Them at home.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They will be stretched.
Good bunch of games. I'm fascinated to know why they're all on Friday as well.
Yeah. Very weird. Because it's not like there's much competition.
No.
On the Saturday, what else is going on? There's United Rugby Championship. There is Allianz Premier 15s. It's a bit of top 14, and then that's it.
Yeah. Well, there you go. Right, hit subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. He's at JP Moore. I'm at Cocker. Phil's lurking. We're at Rugby Podcast. Patreon.com/Egg Chasers. See you on the next one. Let the boys play.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.